We're just going to take a moment to talk about some of the things that we've been talking about today and across the series. Robbie, this has been one of our biggest, longest series we've done, certainly in my time, consecutive series we've done in my time here. How do you feel like it? Part of your role is heading up the teaching and thinking about the teaching for our church. How do you feel like the series has gone so far?
Yeah, I've got to admit up front, I'm probably a bit biased in this. But I can't remember a series that I've been involved in at all my times in a church that I've been more encouraged by. Now, part of that is purely the book of James. It's a wonderful, practical book. But part of that are the stories that I hear from everyday members of our church that have found this series encouraging in real, practical, everyday kind of ways. So let me give a couple of stories. One life group that I was at, they spent an entire night looking at the way, how can we care for orphans and widows and those who are in need? They spent an entire night and they went and did something about it. I heard another story of a lady, God bless her, she came away from a night of life group where she said, that's it, I've got to stop being a bad driver. God is calling me to be a safe, legal, Romans 13 kind of driver. If we can just to hear stories like that, to hear stories of people reading their Bible more than they've ever done, even if it's just rereading and rereading the book of James. I can't remember a series that I've been a part of that God has done so much through people, and I've heard such great stories.
Yeah, great. Certainly it's encouraging to hear that and see what we talk about in church going beyond Sundays. I mentioned at the start, but if you read the church life, although, you know, you really haven't had a chance yet because you're not allowed to do it during the sermon. Robbie wrote an article in there. You talked about that this isn't the end. This is the beginning. Tell us more about what you mean by that.
Yeah. James, I think as a church, due to our history, due to being Anglican, we've never been good at social justice and mercy and compassion kind of stuff. I think our fear is we look at people or organizations or groups like, for example, the YMCA. Once it was a very gospel-hearted, Christian-driven group that in the process of doing social justice, of doing good works, lost the gospel bit. And I think for a long time, churches like us have been scared to do not word-based ministries for fear of losing the word-based ministries. And so as we've gone through the series, I feel like this has actually been more so than getting all the answers. It's been about us asking the right questions. And so, for example, I remember back to the week that we looked at looking after orphans and widows, and I remember thinking, I would have loved to be able to get up here and say, here are a bunch of projects and ways that we as a church can reach out to help our community. But instead, we needed to ask the question, what are the ways that we can reach out and help our community? Who are the weak and disadvantaged in our community? I felt like we were so far behind where I think we should be that it was just a matter of asking questions. And so James, I feel, has really set us a challenge that begins now. That now's the time that we begin to live all day, every day for him. And so it's about, well, now that we've heard the sort of the pep talk, now we've heard the drill sergeant give us the news, give us the challenges, now's the time that we go out there and really live it.
Yeah, and so you're saying that a number of people have taken up that challenge in different ways. And thinking about that, and we've heard different people. In particular, during the series, you received an email. I remember you telling me it was one of the most encouraging emails you've received. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and that person sitting, standing at the back, Libby. Libby was, what, 38 and a half weeks pregnant at the time you wrote? Something like that. And it was the longest email I've ever received. It was about three of the longest essays that I've ever written piled on top of each other. But again, the most encouraging email ever. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Libby basically said, I've never really known where or how to serve. It's kind of, I don't really fit any of the boxes that church seems to have set, but I've got a heart for the lost and I've got a heart for the poor and disadvantaged. And here's a list of ways that we might be able to go about doing that. And that sort of really birthed what we're calling the James Project. The James Project was born that day. So what we decided we'd do is we'd come up with four groups of events, four terms worth of things that we can get people to put their hands up for, that we can actually make a difference in our community. Four ways that we can reach out to, not just to the generalized poor, but to the people in our community with the needs that we feel like they have. It's been a bit to and fro from them. We've got advice from different people, but we've narrowed it down to four things that we think are really important and valuable.
Yeah, right. I think we have a slide.
I think we would have if I gave it to Devil.
Oh, okay. We don't have a slide. So you're talking about four things. So are you asking people to sign up for four things next year, four more things that they're going to do throughout the year? What are you thinking?
We're
there?
Pretty good at putting that on people, aren't we? No, no. We want this to be an example of what can happen when somebody picks one thing they're passionate about, one thing that God's put on their heart, and they just do one thing. Let me tell you what those four things are, and I'll see at the end of the service if I can get it up on a slide. The first thing is we want to have sort of something different for men and women that reach out. For men, we want to really focus on white ribbon campaign, which is men against domestic violence. It's raising awareness that something like four people a day are killed through domestic violence. In this area, it's rife, but we don't talk about it. It's hidden. We want to do something. We want men to lead the charge against domestic violence. And for women, there's something that Libby's particularly opened my eyes to, something called Share the Dignity, which I feel like saying you can ask her about. It's basically something where we provide women's everyday needs for those who are homeless. Is that one way of putting it, Libby? Yeah, Google it. So we want to do something for men and women based around real community needs.
So that's one. For men and women, yep.
In second term, we want to jump on board the winter blanket appeals that go around. We get very cold winters out here. People really struggle to keep warm. We want to go around, collect up lots and lots of blankets and bless people with that. Up next, we particularly off the back of Quack, we feel like marriages, parenting and money are three things that every family group within our community needs help with or could do with help with. So we want to run a series of workshops on how to enrich your marriage, keep your marriage together, keep your marriage strong, how to parent your kids in a way that actually involves discipline, and how do you use your money wisely, sensibly, well.
Okay, so three is families and outreach for families, yep, and four?
Fourth, we want to do two different Christmas appeals. We want to keep doing Operation Christmas Child, and we want to add a second one, Toys and Tucker.
Why two Christmas?
Yeah. In particular, we've been trying to think about, we think the Operation Christmas Child is a great internal way that we can bless children. It'd be great if every person within our church took a box or more and went away and used that as a blessing. But the advantage that something like Toys and Tucker has is we don't want anyone in our church doing that, because we'll be doing Operation Christmas Child, but we want to mobilize our entire community to do goodwill. So we want people to actually go to their neighbors and say, hey, as a church, we're leading our community in meeting the needs of children at Christmas. Would you partner with us? And so we want to actually use that as a way of engaging with the community that God's placed us in.
Yeah, great. And so if we're eager to be involved in one of these, pick one and get involved next year, what's the next steps?
Yeah. We're making sure very, very quick that there is no staff leading any of these teams. We're sick of being bottlenecks for things. We want to, and so Libby has graciously volunteered her role within the James Project is to create four teams with four leaderships within that to drive those things. And we want to support it, we want to encourage it, we want to pray for it, but we don't want to be involved in any of the hand-to-hand kind of running on it. We want this to be a led from the ground up initiative. And so the first step is talking to Libby. She's going to be around at morning tea. We'll put her details in the church life for the next number of weeks. You can annoy her with her. She's got a baby. She's got nothing else to, She would love to hear from you. If you're passionate about one of those areas, if you want to find out more, she's the person to talk to. And above all, pray. Be praying about how God might want to use you in this powerful way.
Yeah, great. We want to, of course, thank Libby for a great initiative on that and you working with her. And we want to take a moment to pray for that as we think about that more as a church. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the great things that we receive from you, the great love we receive from you. And we pray as we think about our role as a church in sharing that love with each other and beyond into the community, as we communicate the gospel, we pray that we will also show that love in really real ways. We pray for these four opportunities that we have, and we pray, Lord, for building the teams and getting behind that. We pray that this would be a great time for our church to be blessing people and loving them and caring for them as we want to proclaim you and your love to them. Lord, we pray for your hand in that. We pray for wisdom in the process of developing them. And we pray that we might be a church that is showing love in so many different ways. In your name.